So what difference does the presence of God make in the life of a believer? What difference does the presence of God make in the life of a believer? I want you to imagine for a moment you're one of the Israelites from this story that we are looking at today. You had been in Egypt as a slave. You'd suffered the cruelty of Pharaoh. And then you'd seen these amazing plagues, and you'd celebrated the Passover, and now you are free. But so far, this freedom has just meant traveling through the desert as you make your way to your new home. And you've made your camp for the night beside some water. And then all of a sudden, your heart sinks. You look up, and you see Pharaoh and his entire army marching after you. How would you feel? Is their new life over before it has even begun? The Egyptians are behind them, and there's water in front of them. It seems like they have reached a dead end. Everything looks hopeless. But things are different now, because they have been rescued, and now the presence of God is with them. And his presence is visually seen in the pillar of cloud, of smoke and fire that is with them, guiding them and protecting them, and will save them. It's the same for us too. When we become Christians, when we're rescued out of our sin, God's presence, his Spirit, comes to dwell in us. And that makes a massive difference to us when we face challenges or when we encounter roadblocks or seemingly dead ends like the Israelites do here. And so this morning I want us to look at this story again, and I want us to see the three differences that the presence of God makes, three things God does in this passage, which is that he guides, he protects, and he saves. God's presence guides, protects, and saves. But first, I want us to see that God's presence guides. Look at chapter 13, verse 17, if you have your Bible with you, or some of the words will be on the screen here. But it says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road towards the Red Sea. This pillar of fire is guiding the people. He goes before them to show them the way that they should go. He guides them on their journey. But God doesn't take them on the shortest, most direct route. God guides them the long way round. And it can be the same with us too. God guides us in our life, not by a pillar of cloud, but through his word, by his Spirit, through the advice of others and through circumstances. And sometimes God takes us the long way round. He doesn't always take us the way that we might expect. 10 years ago, I was working as a youth worker in a church, and I left that job feeling that God was calling me to pastor a church in Dublin. And I thought God would take me the short route, but he ended up taking me the long route. I had to move to London, then I had to move to Belfast, then I had to move to Carrickfergus, and then to Bangor, and before I came here. And what I thought might be a journey of maybe 3 months while I looked for something turned out to be 8 years. God doesn't always take us the short, most direct route. Sometimes he takes us the long way round. And in this passage, we see why. First of all, it's because that it says that if they had gone the short route, they would have faced a battle that they just weren't ready to face yet. It would have been too much for them at that time. And they would have been discouraged, and they would have given up. It's the same in our Christian lives too. Sometimes we're just not ready. Something would be too much, and it would end up defeating us, and we would give up on the journey. And secondly, it's because God uses the journey of our life to reveal himself. Sometimes in the long way, we get to see more of who he is, and we grow deeper in our relationship of faith with him. For Israel, they think they've reached a dead end, but they will see that God makes a way. He will show his power and display his glory. Look at 14, verse 31. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord, and they put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. Through this part of the journey, they learned more about who God is. God guides us, and he guides us on a way that is for our most good and that will maximize his glory. God's presence guides and his presence protects. If you look at verses 19 to 20. Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to one side and light to the other, so neither went near the other all night long. The presence of God is protecting. Now, of course, the Egyptian army posed a real threat. This is the middle of the Bronze Age, and chariots are the latest in military technology. But God's presence protects them. You may in life sometimes feel like you are surrounded with problems and challenges, but God is with you. So you don't need to be afraid, because his presence will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Listen to these words again of Moses in verses 13 to 14. He says, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. The Lord fights for you too. So do not be afraid. The Lord fights for you, so stand firm. The Lord fights for you, and you will see deliverance out of your problems. The Lord will fight for you, and all you have to do is be still and let him do what he does." God's presence guides, God's presence protects, and God's presence saves. Because Moses lifts up his staff at God's command, and all night a strong wind blows and divides the waters and splits them in half. And this is not some kind of natural occurrence. This is a supernatural deliverance. If you look at 14, verse 22, the waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. Morning comes, and Israel have safely crossed over to the other side. And then the waters return, covering the entire Egyptian army. God has rescued them. God guides us away from evil. God protects us from evil. And one day he will save us by destroying all evil. The Lord made a way through the water to save his people so that he could fulfill his promises to them. But through this act of deliverance, God is not just showing what he can do, he's revealing who he is. Like with many of the miracles of Jesus that we read in the Gospels, there is a symbolic element to this real historical event. God is showing us who he is. There's a picture of something more. And you see, in the cultures that the Bible was written to, water symbolized chaos. water symbolized death. And you see this the whole way through the Bible, that when it comes to water and the sea, there's an element of symbolism to do with chaos and death. And God has a pattern of rescuing his people out of water to show that he not only has the power to save, but to point to the fact that he has the power to save us from death. The story of Moses begins with the Hebrew baby boys being thrown into the river Nile, but Moses was drawn out of the waters of death. Or what about the story of Noah? The flood waters rose as judgment on the wickedness of humankind. The world was unmade, but Noah and his family were saved through the water to live in a new world. We even see this theme in the story of creation. Genesis 1 tells us that at the beginning, the earth was formless and void, covered with water. But as the Spirit hovered over the chaotic waters of death, he brought out life and life in abundance. And so this story of Moses, this great rescue by dividing the sea, points us ultimately to Jesus and the greatest rescue of all by his death on the cross for us. Like the Israelites, as God's people, we have been set free. We have been set free from slavery to sin. We've been forgiven by the sacrifice of Jesus, our Passover lamb. But sin wants us back. And one day, the army of death will overtake us. One day we will look up and we will see illness or old age or some tragedy marching towards us, and all that will be before us is the grave. But God, our Savior, is with us, so we don't need to fear. We can stand firm in hope and we can be still in peace. Because Christ has gone to the grave for us. On the cross, he was covered with the waters of God's wrath. He was swallowed up by death, but death could not hold him. And on the morning of the third day, by the strength of the Spirit, he rose to life. And now for us, he stands with his arms raised, sin held back on one side, death held back on the other way. Our God has made a way for us through the grave. With his presence, we can cross to the other side to receive his promise of eternal life. The God who parted the seas for the Israelites is the same God who has made a way for us through the grave. In our reading from Hebrews 11, it said that the people passed through the sea by faith. And it is by faith that we are saved by death. It's not by works. It's not by being good people. It's not by just going to church. It's not by being born into a Presbyterian family or by being baptized, but it is by faith in the resurrection of Christ. Today, by faith, you can replace your fear of death with the hope of eternal life. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and life. Whoever believes in me, though they may die, yet they will live again. And whoever lives and believes in me will never really die." Do you believe this? Our God has made a way. Will you join with me as we pray? Lord God, you are our loving guide, our strong protector, and our faithful Savior. Thank you that through Jesus' death and resurrection, you have made a way for sinners like us to cross through the grave into eternal life. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us with faith. take away our fear, and help us to stand firm in the peace of your presence. Lord God, deliver us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.